The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
Now, the Bible calls Jesus Lamb of God, Lion of Judah. He's Messiah, who came from Judah just as the prophecy said in Genesis 49. Look at him, crouched like a lion, king of beasts who dares messes with him. The scepter shall not leave Judah. A real lion doesn't need a scepter. It's a messianic passage. John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, "Here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And as Passover lamb, Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for sin. As lion, he's a conquering king. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John was getting a tour of the end days events, and his soul was troubled. And an angel comforted him with these words, "Stop crying. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered and proved himself worthy." I looked and saw a lamb standing there. On the lamb were wounds that had once caused his death. You know, for Christians, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they'll live for Christ, who died and was raised for them, for us. Now, for the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, God has been giving blessings, and Paul's laid those out, where God forgives and declares us righteous, that he makes us sons and daughters. He gives us promises of a wonderful future if we choose him. By Romans 8:28, he kind of stops and breathes and says, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. God did not keep back his own son, but he gave him for us. If God did this, won't he freely give us everything else?" Of course. And what are we asked to give back in view of all that God has done for us? The Bible is about what God has done for us, and God is saying, do you accept? And if you do, what does God want from us? Romans 12:1 is the answer. Brothers and sisters, in view of all we've just shared about God's compassion, I encourage you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, dedicated to God, pleasing to him. This kind of worship is appropriate for you. Don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. Then you'll always be able to determine what God really wants, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. This tells us what we need to let go of and what we need to hold on to. And for each of us, it's intentional. It's a complete transformation of our priorities if we're going to accept God on his terms. And what are we willing to give up in order to get what we want most? By the way, this is a whole new approach to God. Paul is talking to Jews, and the Old Testament law commands and threatens. But the New Testament covenant invites us to respond to God's mercy freely because he asks us to. And that's why Paul says, "I invite you." And the Greek word is, "I encourage, I exhort, I urge, I implore, I appeal to you." And the word is one, if you've been raised in church, you're familiar with the word, is parakaleo. It's to come alongside of. And it's also the title and word for the Holy Spirit. He's not demanding. He's inviting us to come alongside of Jesus Christ. He says in 2 Corinthians 1, he says to people, to Christians, that we don't have dominion over your faith. We're fellow workers for your joy. He's saying, I'm not commanding you. I don't have dominion over you. And by the way, the Bible, dominion is always bad. Apply that to today's news. You might have heard a cliche, chasing rabbits. I read an article recently about dogs chasing a rabbit. It was a dog race in Florida. The mechanical rabbit that the greyhounds were chasing broke down. It stopped. The dogs caught the elusive rabbit. It was the first time. And you'd think those dogs would be happy. But when they caught it, they didn't know what to do with themselves. They found out firsthand that mechanical rabbits don't taste very good. They became confused and depressed. They wandered around lost, and some lay down and wouldn't get up again, and their owners went out trying to get them off the track. The dogs lost their purpose for running. Not one dog finished the race, and all of those dogs were ruined as race dogs. And it's sort of like winning the lottery. Most of us, if I were to ask, would you like to win the lottery? But for a majority of winners, if you Google them and see how they end up, at first they get the best guy or girl that money can buy. Then comes houses, cars, toys, trips, new friends and relatives they never knew they had. But eventually depression and ruin sweeps in and destroys most. Christian philosopher Blaise Pascal said, "We pass the time with entertainment, sports, games, shopping, and the like. These things aren't wrong, they're just empty. They distract us from what our soul longs for. So if we're going to chase something, chase God. He is the only thing, person, entity that can satisfy our souls. He gives us a purpose for living. In fact, that's the theme of Rick Warren's bestseller, The Purpose-Driven Life. So what's the best purpose, according to Paul, for mankind? The Bible says that since Jesus was sacrificed and died for us, we should sacrifice ourselves and live for him. He's saying live for Christ. He died for you, live for Christ. While Paul was imprisoned in Rome, he was awaiting death for sharing Jesus. He wrote the book of Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 1, he tells about his imprisonment, about sharing the gospel with his Roman guards. And then he writes this, "I will always be ready to speak out boldly for Christ while I'm going through all these trials here, just as I have in the past. It will always be an honor to Christ, whether I live or whether I must die. For me, living means opportunities for Christ. Dying, well, that's better yet," in his opinion. Jesus lived and died for Paul. Paul decided to live and die for Jesus. And that's our choice as well. In Romans chapter 12, Paul says God wants three things from us in view of everything he's done for us. God wants us to give him our body. So we should present a present of our body to God. And we do this, Paul says, because of the mercies of God, the mercy that God has shown to us. And he's looking at what he said in the previous 11 chapters about God's mercy to us, that we should give him what he asked from us. Phillips' translation says, "With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, open your eye, open the eyes of my heart, Lord." And Romans is filled with God's mercy. In Romans chapters 1 through 3, it says, even though we're sinners, we can be made right with God through Jesus Christ. Chapter 1 of Romans says that believing in Christ is essential for salvation. Romans chapter 2, Paul says repentance is essential for salvation. Romans chapters 3 and 4, faith is essential. Romans 5, we can approach God anytime. We have the hope of abundant life, and we will live forever in heaven if we do as God says. Romans chapters 6 through 8, we're given the Holy Spirit. Also in chapter 6, Paul explains that baptism and remaining faithful to Christ is essential. Romans 9 through 11 explains the promises of God regarding salvation. We do what he says, this is what he'll do for us. Chapter 10, Paul says belief and confession are essential. Chapter 11, Paul repeats that remaining faithful is essential. And with all these things in mind, what does God want from us? Everything we do for or give to God is because of love, not fear, not the Old Testament. It's because we appreciate what he's done for us. There's a music group that you can Google. It's on YouTube. They're called Gentry. Gorgeous music. Three tenors. They have a video called Enough. And it's so touching about the love a husband and wife have for each other. It would bring a tear to a glass eye. The whole song, the whole video is about a couple who sends love notes to each other throughout their entire lives. And it's a nonverbal, constant reminder of how much they love each other. And you know, the Bible is God's love letter to us. And it tells what he's done, how he's sacrificed for us, and what he's prepared for us. And whenever a Christian does what God wants, it's our love letter back to him. Paul said in this verse, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. And we know in a strong, faithful Christian marriage, we reserve our body as a gift to our spouse. We are the bride of Christ. Our spouse, the bridegroom, is Jesus Christ. We keep our body holy for him.
This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of SCW Christian Church. To help keep this programming on the air, please go to scwcc.org or mail your contributions to SCWCC, 2803 North 151st Avenue, Sun City West, Arizona, 85375.
Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself. God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. That's why Paul says offer your bodies to God. And the word that he uses here, the Greek word, is a priestly Levitical term. And it's used of, in the Old Testament, a priest presenting a sacrificial animal on the altar. And that offering had to be pure and holy for God. Our body needs to be the same, kept pure and holy as our offering to God. Back in Romans chapter 6, Paul says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer, same word, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. And this means that we don't offer our body to God on Sundays, but to Satan the rest of the week. Peter says of Christians in 1 Peter 2, you are his holy priests. You offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. So we are priests, but we are also the offering that we, the priest, offer of ourselves. We present our body as an offering that pleases God. We are living sacrifices. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Now, the bad thing about living sacrifices, some of us are old enough to remember, they keep trying to crawl off the altar. You see, if you ask an animal, do you want to die? The animal will say, nah. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices were already dead before they were offered. But in the New Testament, it refers to living believers with a freedom to come or go, to choose to be an offering or to leave. So we choose to live a life that's holy and pleasing to God because each one of us, at one point, was unholy and pleasing only to Satan. And Paul describes B.C., before Christ, individuals back in Romans chapter 3 saying, everyone has turned away, all have gone wrong, no one anywhere has kept on doing what's right, not one. Their talk is foul and filthy like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are loaded with lies. Everything they say has in it the sting and poison of deadly snakes. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They're quick to kill, hating anyone who disagrees with them. That kind of sounds like a woke society, huh? Hating anyone who disagrees with them. Wherever they go, they leave misery and trouble behind them. They've never known what it is to feel secure or to enjoy God's blessings. They care nothing about God nor what He thinks about them. Now, America is in trouble right now because this is a perfect description of many of our nation's leaders. Paul says, such people care nothing about God nor what God thinks about them. And someday they'll take their last breath and be in for a very rude awakening. Living for God is just the sensible things to do, Paul says. One translation said it this way, it is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And actually, Paul puts two Greek words together to explain sensible. It's logikon, which is logic or reasonable, and lutero, which is a priestly word for serving God, reasonable, logical service. And we've been rescued from Satan in order to serve God. Luke 1:74 says, we've been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. That's love so amazing, so divine, it demands our soul, our life, our all. It's rational, reasonable, intelligent, logical worship of God. And that dedication of our bodies is part one. But more than that, God wants the transformation of our minds because our minds control our body. Our body's connected to our mind. So Paul continues in verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And that word conformed means following a pattern or fashioned after what the world does. And we know that we're under increasing pressure to conform to whatever professors and politicians say we should think. That's groupthink. And systems are developed and now squarely in place to edit anyone who doesn't conform to the newest value system or thought process that's in fashion. But there are principalities and powers at work to squeeze everyone, including Christians, into its mold, especially if it goes against the teachings of the Bible. There are only two ultimate masters that want control of us, and only one will ultimately win. Don't conform yourselves to the standards of this world. Message version says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. That's kind of a chameleon Christian. Not a comedian Christian. Chameleon. A chameleon is a lizard that has the ability to change their color. Chameleon Christians will conform to their environment to hide from predators. So on Sunday, they look and they act like Christians. They blend in perfectly. And the rest of the week, they fit in perfectly with non-Christian crowds and behaviors. So they have a foot in two different worlds, and they're not at home in either one. Paul said in Colossians 2, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. And this is also a perfect description of many of our indoctrination centers that we call schools and universities. Ephesians 5, 6 says, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the terrible wrath of God is upon all who do them. Don't even associate with such people. For though once your heart was full of darkness, now it's full of light from the Lord. Your behavior should show it. That's why he says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And the Greek word transform is a word we're familiar with. It's metamorphosis. And Webster's dictionary describes metamorphosis as change by supernatural means. And you might think of how a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. That's metamorphosis. It's a miracle. That even metamorphosis of plants and animals will turn into oil or petroleum. A metamorphosis of coal will turn that coal into diamonds in time. So what can God turn us into if we let him transform us into what he wants us to be? We know that God transformed Moses and he transformed Stephen. With Moses in Exodus 34, the Bible says, when Moses went down from Mount Sinai carrying the Ten Commandments, his face was shining because he had been speaking with the Lord. He didn't know it. He's transformed. Acts 6, everyone in the high council stared at Stephen because his face became as bright as an angel. That's a metamorphosis. And the same word that Paul uses is in Matthew 17, where Jesus took with him Peter and the brothers James and John and led them up to a high mountain, and they were alone. As they looked on, a change came over Jesus, a metamorphosis. His face was shining like the sun. His clothes were dazzling white. And one commentator said what Jesus was on the inside came out to the outside. And I imagine there are some of us that would be uncomfortable if what was really on the inside of us could be seen on the outside. And if that doesn't sound good to you, let Jesus transform your life. How you use your body. The things that we do with our minds that control what we do with our body. It's garbage in, garbage out. What we put in our minds will eventually come out. So what's the takeaway from all of this? What benefit is there if we give our body and mind to God? Paul ends this section saying, you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. And here's what God will do for those who are all in for God. Psalm 34:4, take delight in the Lord. Here's what he'll do for us. He will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. Now, Satan makes the same exact offer to those who follow him. I'll give you the world if you follow me. But Satan is a liar from the beginning. So Paul ended with these three words that described an all-in relationship with God. Good, pleasing, perfect. God's will for you is good, pleasing, and perfect. And if our lives are anything but those three things, we need to take God up on his offer, and we need to say, pray, or sing to him, I surrender, not most, all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Pray with me. Father in heaven, the days are evil, the time is short. Lord, your word is going across the earth at an increasing rate. And Jesus said, before the Son of Man comes, the whole world will hear, and then the end will come. We're close to that now. We're seeing end times events warming up in the bullpen for a full-fledged battle from hell. So, Father, help us to make good choices that we can live with for eternity. Use us to bring someone else into your kingdom as someone brought us. Thank you for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you raised from the dead for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said.
This has been Living Strong. Join them at Sun City West Christian Church. They offer a variety of Sunday morning worship services. The 8 a.m. is a blend of new and classic worship songs. The 9:30 a.m. service includes more classical Christian hymns that many were raised on. The newest 11 a.m. service is a bit more contemporary. It's called Live. Live offers new children's programs and the opportunity for you to be included in the band and music of the ministry. Sun City West Christian Church, located at 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Again, that's 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Head on over to scwcc.org to see what Sun City West Christian Church is all about. That's scwcc.org. Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
The preceding program was sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.